Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Millennial Movie Mix. I'm your host, Ashley, and I wanted to go ahead and give listeners a special warning this week. We are covering a movie that discusses rape, so if this is triggering to you, please avoid this episode.
So they never show you how Susie and Kelly met, how they started.
Were they secretly in love?
Well, I don't, I mean, she does say you can trust me.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Ashley, and with me, as always, is
Kristen
And Justin.
and Sarah.
And this week we're talking about Wild Things from 1998.
Let me say,
Wild
it
Things.
was absolutely unexpected. This whole movie made me go, "What the fuck? What the
Yes, a
fuck?
mind fuck for sure.
What the
Yes.
fuck?"
So right off the bat, I'm the only one who's ever seen this before, right?
Yes.
Right.
I'd never seen it.
This movie came out in 1998. I was 14 years old.
Oh
You
shit!
saw this when you were 14 years old.
My parents rented this, and it was one of those movies that I wasn't supposed to get into, and I got into it.
Naughty, naughty.
So I saw this at 14 years old.
Damn.
Um,
Did you
maybe
like.
like maybe almost 15 by the time it came out on VHS.
Dang.
You like pretty well, like, could understand everything that was going on then.
Oh, yeah, I understood everything. It was an amazing part of growing up, this movie.
Did you have any friends to talk about this movie with? Like, were you the only one that had seen it?
I don't remember. I know that, so I had a friend who lived nearby, and there were multiple times when like my parents would like rent a movie that was like Showgirls or Wild Things or something like that. And it'd be like, yeah, oh my God, have you heard of this movie? And I remember like that's where I was staying at his house one night, and we rented my favorite movie from Dusk Till Dawn. I was like, have you ever seen this movie from Dusk Till Dawn? He was like, no. I'm like, we got to watch that one. So yeah, so there's a definitely like hey, have you seen this? It's a good one. Oh, have you heard of that? But that happened with like scary movies too. That's where I learned a lot about like A Nightmare on Elm Street. So like we talked a lot about horror movies and sex scenes in movies.
Oh, you had a lot to talk about with this one.
Yeah, well, you
Right.
didn't have the internet the same way that you do today, so you had to like be like, hey, have you heard of this crazy movie? And you know that this movie was nominated for a Best Kiss MTV award, so
Which
it was
kid?
like it was pretty out there in the public eye. So like a lot of people did know about this raunchy like sex movie,
Like, which kiss was nominated?
the three-way kiss.
Okay,
Okay.
that's what I thought.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it lost. I can't remember if it won or lost. I don't know. I didn't look it up. I didn't. I just thought about it.
It was the head pushing. It would have won if there was no head pushing.
That
Nice, Ashley.
was just yeah. I don't even know what to say about like it was like. He wasn't really in control or in charge. Like it was Susie the whole time.
Oh, you're
So
skipping ahead.
I'm skipping
You're skipping
ahead.
ahead.
Spoilers!
I mean, spoilers. I mean, yeah. But yeah, so like it was all part of the sexcapade. Like he was getting off on being in
He
control.
thought,
He
yeah, he
thought he
thought
was
he
in
was in
control.
control.
But she's getting off because she knows he's wrong.
Yeah, and then eventually she'll get off. Mean, it's yeah. I just it's so weird to think of this act. I mean, this is like the Denise Richards boob movie, and that's like I read an article about her talking to her kids about this movie. I think it was
Oh.
something like she has three daughters, like the oldest one's like 15, and like something had happened where one of her daughter's friends was like, "Hey, did you know your mom did this movie?"
Oh,
And I
shit.
think she told her daughter, listen, I'd prefer if you didn't watch it. It's not appropriate for you. it's something that I chose to do. And if you want to watch it later and whatever, but she goes, those were my choices. And that was, you know, something that I did to, you know, I don't know that she said to earn a paycheck or do whatever, but it's just one of her job choices.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny that in real life, she was 27 at the filming of this movie.
She looks fucking bomb, though. She's gorgeous in this movie.
No, yeah, and most definitely. And Neve Campbell, she was 25 in this role.
So oh, they man, were and she...
27, 25, playing some high schoolers.
But they both looked super good. All of them looked super good.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought they were in college.
What?
I thought they were in college.
No.
I thought that was a high school.
I'm pretty sure that was a high school.
I know that they were 18, but I thought it was Blue Bay High.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, I really missed that.
Yeah.
Does that change your perspective?
That makes
just
it worse.
A little?
Yeah. Oh my God, no. okay. Okay.
This was I saw this because of Neve Campbell. I mean, I had no idea who the other people were, you know. Well, I saw this. I knew about this because of Neve Campbell. I saw this because my parents rented it. But, like, Neve Campbell was in Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And Scream was my movie. That was my movie when I was young.
Yeah, she was also in The Craft.
The Craft is such a good movie. I think I'm trying to remember when it came out. I mean, it was like she had like boom, boom, boom of Scream, Craft, Wild Things, Party of Five on
96.
Yeah, that's why she didn't do any nudity in this movie, was because she was still on like wholesome. You guys know what Party of Five is?
I know.
No.
I watched it.
Oh yeah, I got exposed to a lot of entertainment because of my mom was big into it. Party of Five, there were like five kids. They were called the Salingers. Their parents owned a restaurant, but then they died in a car crash or something. And so there was like the oldest brother, and he had to raise his younger siblings, which was like a teenage brother, a teenage sister, a younger sister, and a new baby that the parents had just had.
Damn.
And the people... All right, so do you know the girl from Mean Girls who... which one is it? Is it the one who tries to... It's Gretchen.
Gretchen Wieners.
Yeah, so she was one of the girls on the show. Neve Campbell. The oldest son... Do you know the guy from Lost? Who, like, the main character...
I think so, yeah.
The doctor. Okay. I think his name's like Matthew Shepard.
Jack
on the show, yeah. it went anyway, Party of Five was a huge show on at that time. Jennifer Love Hewitt eventually comes onto that show as a love interest. Do you guys know who that is?
Yeah. I remember her name from ABC Family.
Of course. You say of course.
No, I don't know who she is.
But yeah, Neve Campbell, I didn't really know anybody else. Denise Richards was from a movie called Starship Troopers, but I didn't really like her in Starship Troopers.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
I love that movie, but I was like, eh.
I think I only saw it for, like, on Riff Tracks.
It is based on a book, and the book is excellent, and the commentary on the film and the political commentary that it's offering on like military and citizenship is actually really cool if you can get past gross bugs and explosions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that one's ever on our list, but so I knew them from that, and of course everybody knows Kevin Bacon. Hey, let's
well, yeah.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Here we go.
I found Kevin
this
Bacon
was the movie.
And his penis.
But how does it go to How do we get it back to Buffy, though?
Found it. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. Oh, Neve Campbell was in Scream 2 with Sarah Michelle Gellar, who was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
There we go.
I already did it. The beginning right of the episode. Bat,
we've already done it.
Yeah. That one was actually pretty easy. Okay, hey, other noticeable people, I was very happy to watch Kristen's reaction when she found out Mr. Bowden. Mr. Oh, Ken Bowden.
Yeah, Bill Murray.
Oh my God. I was excited about that too.
Yeah.
Sarah, you said this movie was a mystery, like you had no idea what it was, and then all of a sudden Bill Murray walks in.
Yeah.
Honestly, at that moment, I was like, what the fuck's going on in this movie?
Yeah.
I was like, where the fuck is this going?
Well, it's got that soundtrack where it's like, are you serious?
Okay, here's the thing. It's got the soundtrack that's basically just Duel of the Fates over and over. But like, and Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
The score was by George S. Clinton. And we have also enjoyed his music from Austin Powers.
Ah,
The Santa Claus, Mortal Kombat, Cheech and Chong, Beverly Hills Ninja, and The Love Guru.
Ooh, very nice. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Bill Murray, of course. You know that Matt Dillon is from The Outsiders?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That's maybe where he is most famous from, I guess. But he was in There's Something About Mary and the movie Crash, which was Oscar nominated. But Matt Dillon came back around again in 2018 with a horror movie called The House That Jack Built.
Never heard of it.
You haven't heard of it?
No.
It's supposed to be. What'd you hear?
I don't know what it is.
Well, it's a horror. I think he plays a killer, and it is extremely violent and disturbing. Something that people, of course, talked about as, is it too far?
No, I have a friend who also podcasts who did that movie, and I listened to the episode about it. It's Searching for Cinema, accidental plug. It was so fucked up sounding. I will never watch that movie. No, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, The House That Jack Built. There you go. Disturbing film. If you're looking for it, you found it.
Yeah.
Matt Dillon.
Ugh.
He's in a bunch of other films from Drugstore Cowboy to Singles to the Kevin Kline movie In and Out. So I mean, he's all over the place. Just not someone who I knew at that time. We got an Austin Powers number 2 in this movie.
Oh, we did.
From Mr. Robert Wagner.
Oh, yeah. I would like to talk about the real star of this show, which is the raccoon that seemed very interested.
Oh, my God. I noticed that, too. He popped up. And I thought, that's fucking funny. I never realized that.
Did that trigger you?
I was actually good. I was okay.
Are you sure you didn't see their little itty bitty hands with their beady little eyes? Their vicious teeth.
Now that's just not cool.
Because now I think of all these
ways that like I sit down on my couch and I think, oh, the fuck is there gonna be something creeping around in here to grab me? I have a real issue with these fucking rodents and creatures that can like open doors and crawl in shit.
No, I don't remember. Are they marsupials? I don't think so. I don't know what they are.
I think they're fucking gross rodents.
No, raccoons are not marsupials, but no. Opossums are.
Opossums are, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
And I really want to mention Daphne Rubin Vega, who plays the detective Gloria Perez, who's Duquette's partner.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe have never seen her in a film before, but she is the original Mimi in Broadway's Rent.
Really?
Oh!
No way.
But yeah, Jonathan Larson, he's the one who cast her as Mimi. So she was there from the start. She originated the role.
Wow. That's amazing.
And then she shows up in Wild Things.
Right.
And it's just a weird journey that some people go on.
Right. Oh my God.
Shall we talk about triggers?
Yeah. Oh,
so many. So I've got a list too.
I just, you know what, maybe before we go with triggers, I want to throw out there that the film was made for $20 million and only made $30 million at the box office.
Damn. Good. Oh.
I thought that might be relevant for, I don't know why like people
That's
didn't go.
That's kind of surprising.
Like, I don't know if, like, because that was, like, from Box Office Mojo. I don't know if that takes into account, like, video sales.
Well, and like then you this... also...
Yeah, because people wanted to watch it in private.
Yeah.
You also said that it almost won an Oscar, right?
What?
You said that it almost won an Oscar, right?
What, Wild Things?
Yeah.
No.
The makeout scene.
Oh, an MTV Movie Award.
Oh.
No, an MTV Movie Award.
Yeah, because this movie was... too mature to get slimed at the Nickelodeon Awards.
I don't know. I read some stuff about this movie, and I don't know the Denise Richards nude scenes and things like that, how they were contracted out and how she had like fixed a previous boob job and then like right before this movie, and how the doctor went bigger than she expected, and then they had to like put into the contract that she could show like one breast if she wanted to, but she could get a body double if she didn't want to. And then like it was all of this, and it really opens you up to all of the like Hollywood does take seriously when they do nudity in a film. They didn't always. I mean, with Harvey Weinstein, the fucker who's going, you know, and all of that shit that's gone down, you do have people on set now who talk about what's comfortable for an actress and an actor and how you get through some stuff. And I don't know if like a lot of it's like exploitation, like if we're getting ready to go, like, go into exploitation triggers. And so that's why I just think it was like good to mention before that, like Denise Richards said, like, she chose to do this.
Right.
And right. Like Neve Campbell chose to do this. They all got like tequila drunk, like in their trailer before they filmed the scene. And like Denise Richards decided not to use a body double and like just kind of went with it. So like, that's kind of empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's got balls.
No matter what happens or what we talk about from this point on.
Right.
So prepare us for the triggers.
Okay. So being touched by objectifying women, guns, rape, exploiting rape, drug abuse, victim blaming, gaslighting, threatening people, abuse of police, cops, use of the R word, classism, violence, murder, exploiting women, teeth, Florida, and now I know this was supposed to be a high school, so let's just throw statutory rape in there and harassing minors and all that nasty shit.
What was before Florida?
Teeth.
Teeth. Okay.
Being pulled out.
Okay.
Ah.
Triggers in no particular order.
Mention of executions.
Oh, I don't think I noticed that.
Point, one of the girls told Lombardo that they were going to put him in the chair for that, and so I was like, let's use the chair. And it was July 1999.
Ooh, wow.
Right after this movie was made.
Whoa.
I think that Eileen Wuornos was put to death in Florida. Was she chaired? Or was she... Do you know who Eileen Wuornos is?
No.
Sarah?
No.
You guys have never seen Monster?
I don't think so.
Like 2005?
So I don't think so.
Okay.
Who else is in Monster?
Christina Ricci? Yeah, Charlize Theron? Eileen Wuornos is a killer. She killed men along the interstate in Florida.
Did they deserve it?
Ashley, you would like this movie.
Yeah.
Do you hear me ask if they deserved it?
Well, so that's what's up for debate. The stories vary, but I don't. You would like the movie, but you wouldn't. I don't know. I mean, it's she undergoes a really brutal attack, and then like it changes her perspective on things, and she starts to kill men.
Ooh, you know what? Can we add this? I think I would like this one.
And Christina Ricci plays her lesbian lover.
Ooh.
Yes. Make everything gay.
Make everything gay. Well, yes. Wild Thing certainly did.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, we'll have to look into Monster. All right. So, did we, or those, okay, that was a lot of Trevers.
A lot of Trevers.
All right, was that a lot of triggers?
It was like a
couple additional ones.
You have additional triggers?
I did have some. So I had toxic masculinity in there.
Oh, yeah.
But isn't that kind of everywhere?
Yeah, everywhere. So grooming.
And yes.
Sexual predators, yeah. Drunk driving.
Mm.
Police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
Dentures. I don't know if anyone noticed the dentures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had to have it as a trigger.
Is it because of your past, Kristen?
Because that made me like. So yeah, okay. Extortion and theft. And yes. I think you got everything else: domestic violence, underage drinking. Yeah.
Well, I didn't think that they were underage. I thought they were in college.
Yeah. No. Wah, wah. No, that was just a rich high school where they had sailing clubs.
Wow.
It was a weird setting where you were like, look at these super ultra rich people and look at these poor people who go to the same school.
Is that real? Like, I'm not rich and I'm probably like pretty close to poor, but like, is that something?
I mean, especially are you talking about like the blending of the school?
Like the school, like the, you know, the sailing club, it looked like they had like a rugby thing.
Lacrosse.
Or lacrosse, yeah.
You mean are there schools that offer classes like that?
Yeah.
Hell to the yeah, if you're rich enough to afford them.
Oh, yeah. Like fencing classes, I'm sure.
Right.
But like this, I think that this one was strange because you've got a character like Jimmy who is supposed to be poor and then going to the same school as one of the richest, like someone who's got $8 million in their trust.
Oh my God.
Like wouldn't they be in private school? And like, and you think like what would get those lower income students to be at that school? Would it be because their parents work there? Or like why does Susie go to that school?
It could be because it's the only school available to them in that area.
That's you're exactly right. It's the only one in that district. But then you're like, you're in fucking Florida.
Right. Well, I mean.
Well, they were kind of in swamp land.
In the swamp. Yeah. In the marsh.
Yeah, rich. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, those
We'll make those excuses.
Maybe. I don't know how we got talking about that from triggers. But that's, yeah. So that's a lot of fucking triggers in this movie. We've never counted the triggers, have we?
No.
To think, like, what was the most triggering movie?
Oh.
I did think in this movie, they say motherfucker, and they say,
see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday.
And the R word.
I can't believe I faltered on that. And what's the other one that they say?
The R word.
Oh, yeah, and they say the R word. Oh, and cocksucker.
Oh, they chicken liquor.
Where's
your hose?
Lint liquor?
Who you calling a lint liquor?
It's pretty triggering. Was the mystery payoff worth it? Like sitting through all of the, was it all uncomfortable or was it all just so like discombobulating? Like what the fuck is happening?
It was uncomfortable, but I mean, like, it was satisfying knowing the ending of it. Like, I was satisfied with the ending at the, but it's,
it's kind of horrible. Like,
yeah, I only had one problem with the ending of this movie, and it's so superficially awful. We'll get to it when it gets there.
Is it her hair?
It was her hair.
Is it?
I liked it better when it was her Neve Campbell.
Non-blonde.
Red stuff. The red.
Right.
I was like, whoa. But then I'm like, that's, no. Like,
if it wasn't blonde, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But like, also it was just, it seemed like a really like poorly styled wig.
Yeah. 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 Well, because like, she couldn't actually cut her hair because the party is live. So the red stuff was probably a wig too. Or it was like the shake and die. I don't know. All right, so a triggering goddamn movie. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
See how this thing goes.
I had a nostalgic moment. I saw one of the girls had a zigzag part in her hair. I was like, ooh.
Oh my God.
She must have been cool.
Super cool.
I
used to do that.
Okay.
So instead of like just parting your hair straight down the middle.
Yeah, you went part zigzag.
Like you do like a diagonal part instead of like a zigzag. Bolt. Yeah. Instead of a straight part.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Okay. I didn't. Who had that? I didn't notice that at all.
I had that.
Not I mean, in the movie.
Okay.
So that's like you just always wanted one or you had one?
I remember seeing the commercials on TV for like this product that you could buy.
What?
And it was like this little plastic rough edge thing flat on your head, and you took this hair pick and you would like trace the zigzag with it, and then you just like pull your hair up and it would part in a zigzag.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are we ready to jump into this thing?
We are.
Let's avoid the gators.
Azul Zag.
A what?
Azul.
Azul.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's fine. You have your moments.
High school guidance counselor Sam Lombardo is accused of rape by two female students, wealthy and popular Kelly Van Ryan and outcast Susie Toller. He hires lawyer Kenneth Bowden to defend him. At trial, both of the girls admit having lied to get revenge on Sam. Susie, for his failure to bail her out of jail in a minor drug charge, and Kelly, for his affair with her mother.
Ew.
It's like a lot of, it's like, okay, I just skipped a bunch of movie moment.
Yeah, that's like the first whole like 45 minutes of the show.
Like it starts with like the weird,
like her coming on to him, flirting. Okay,
I'm starting with the music and stuff, like the mood setting. But like, yeah, that was one of the most uncomfortable moments in the whole film.
Oh yeah. Ugh.
That was really, really, really icky. Also, just like all the guys making fun of sexual crimes at the seminar at the beginning of the movie. I was just
like, right.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and then the guy reaches over and like messes with her shirt or whatever, and she's like, fuck off.
But like, for real.
That down. I love that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like something that really stood out to me.
And just the way she said it, too.
Yeah.
It's weird that you noticed you were going to say something about the music, too. Because that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, what the fuck's going on, George Clinton? Like, it's like this odd, like, almost tribal
Miami music. Vice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, Florida, but I'm getting, like, yeah.
And you're like, okay, like, so there's somebody out using one of those, what are they called? The airboats?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. To cruise the Everglades.
Yeah.
Like a fan boat or
something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, what kind of movie am I getting into? And then I think the first thing you see after is like them at the high school, right? Like you follow Sam as he walks in.
Yeah, I think so.
And like in the very beginning of this movie, it's like sex, 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 sex. Everything is about sex, like right in your face. So I think you know, sex. Yeah. I think you know right away that this movie is going to be oriented that way.
Right. That's why it's kicking off our summer of sex, drugs and rock and roll. Up first, summer of sex.
That's right.
So and like Wild the Things is definitely a tribal like predatory music at the beginning. Was that just like setting us up to be like,
oh this my god, it was
predator.
I got a picture of Ray Duquette looking like in the bushes.
Yeah. Doing like the peeping.
Oh my god.
Middle-aged white male hunting his prey.
Oh my god.
A high school girl.
Oh my god. Blah, blah, blah.
That everything, when you go back and you look at everything now, like after you figure the whole movie out, like, are you like, stuff is, like, it's still all like jumbled and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because like Kelly Van Ryan didn't tell her best friend that she was sleeping with Sam Lombardo in order to get $8 million. So she's out there washing the car with her best friend. And then she's like, just go. And her best friend's like, oh, are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that whole, after watching the entire movie, it's like looking back on some moments, you're like, why is that in there? Because like she made it clear to the friend that she was like intending or like sex or sexual sort of things. And then like that, to me, that would like go against the story.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that particular thing was in there, but yes. So they're doing the car wash thing.
Side note, car wash. I think people were also like staring at them while they were doing their car.
Yeah. They were like the, young the kids
playing ball yeah, down the young street.
Young boys. Yeah.
Also like, even if, you know, even if somebody like acts excited about like spending time privately with somebody, like up until you say no, like you can give consent, and then up until you say no, that's like consensual.
Yeah, you can change your mind at any time. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, and like
it just felt weird that Kelly Van Ryan knew what she was doing, but right? The friend was just like, I'm okay with you going to try to sleep with this grown.
Well, yeah, like, also, I'm not trying to imply that she, like, intended to have sex, so therefore she had to. I'm saying, like, what, knowing what we know now at the end of the movie, that she was going in there intentionally to do what she was doing. Like, why would she make it seem otherwise to her friend, who's not in on it at all? Mm-hmm. That's just, like, a movie point that I kind of thought was weird.
Yeah, like she was setting up something that didn't need to be set up.
Right.
Because then there was no payoff later.
Yeah.
I don't know, that just, that whole thing. But then you look at Sam Lombardo the whole time. Now, I don't know what version you guys saw. Did you ultimately see the flashes at the end where yeah. Where yes. Kelly comes into the bar and offers him cocaine?
Yes. No.
So, like, that's, it's going to be hard to talk about this movie in chunks and not spoil, because Sam Lombardo was set up by Susie, who got Kelly to go and...
Well, Susie, who set up everyone else.
But that's, did really? Did Susie have Kelly go and get, because there's the version of the movie that we watched, it gives more information about why yeah. Susie did what she did. And stuff like that. And so one of the things you see is when they're talking about Kelly being found like coked up in a hotel room, that's because she was with Sam. Like she walks into the bar in the Glades holding cocaine, sits down at the table and says, I ran away. And she brings the cocaine up and he's like, okay, maybe just a little bit. And then
uses it against her.
And then Susie drops pictures on his desk. And those pictures are of him in the hotel room with Kelly that weekend.
Yeah. So, like, did she tell both of them to, like, she had to have told. Yeah, never mind. I was confused up until just now.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I think that. So, Susie started it by sending Kelly. After Sam?
Yes, because yeah. Susie and Kelly alone couldn't access Kelly's
But I mean, it had to have been that Susie approached, because you guys didn't see in the alternate that the reason why Susie did everything she did. I'll tell you in the very end, and we'll see what kind of reaction you get.
Well, so Sarah did see it, right? Sarah, you saw it.
I'm pretty extended. Sure. Okay. I don't remember.
Well, you would have seen her dropping the money, the pictures on the desk.
Yeah, but I didn't see anything about him offering her.
No. You would have seen the teeth scene. You would have seen the scene with Duquette and Kelly in the pool house.
Yeah.
But there were like two extra scenes that were in the cut that we watched.
Okay. Oh. So I don't think I did.
Yeah, so there's still a motive for Susie to have done all of this. But I just thought it was interesting that so now when you're watching it again, and so I read this too. So Kevin Bacon was talking about how when making the movie, they had to take every time that they were acting in a scene and look at what their motivation would be and who's lying to who. And they said that they would get so confused and they'd have to take breaks to figure out when they were in scenes together, who was in on it and who wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that would get real confusing.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot to keep track of.
And like, who knows what information when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Susie was, so like, it's like Duquette never would have known that Susie was in on it.
Like, no,
Duquette would have thought she was being used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in that way. So, like, yeah, so it's just so funny that you go back and the root of all of this is like little Susie, IQ over 200, can do anything she put her minds to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Walked away with $8 million.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But then it starts in this such a, like, cliched 90s sex pot type, your weird music and your obvious bosoms and lots of fuck yous and even hearing the Baxter lawyer every time he was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it does make you kind of cringe a little bit.
Oh my god, when the mom walked out on the balcony
in her freaking bathing suit and her fucking flowy ass robe.
And then they both walk in and close the door at the same time. I liked that.
That was cool. Just like, I loved the, I don't know, she just seemed like a very powerful person onto that balcony. And I was like, I want to be
of a Sandra Van Ryan.
Yeah.
Where she gets off of the her whatever guy of the week that she's writing rather graphically. Like that was a scene.
Yeah.
And then she gets on the phone later, or she tells Sam or something that she's never found anybody who can, what was it?
Handle her load.
Yeah. Something while she's staring right at that dude.
Yeah.
Who just stays with her and later like does the violence to Sam.
Every time I think of her, I always just think of her cringy daughter talk with her, with Kelly, like, and how she like tries to comfort her and like,
oh my god,
aunt, like,
and she stands up and she goes, Sam Lombardo,
right?
How could he do this to me?
Oh my god, I wrote that down. That's what I was like, oh my god, that's where her head is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so like the grandpa made a trust for Kelly that she couldn't access until the mother died. That's a weird fucking rule.
That's terrible.
What you got to do there is you got to get rid of the mom.
Good. Sayonara, Sandra.
Maybe grandpa hated the mom too.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll talk more about that, grandpa. That's going to come back up. There's more knowledge to that.
Ooh.
All right. So we have, everybody gets introduced. We have the detectives during the sex crime talk. Sam, he's got his girlfriend until he gets accused of rape, and then she drops him.
Mm-hmm.
and that's the Baxter guy. I love Mr. Baxter. You're not trying this case. Sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah, put him in his place.
He needed it.
Uh-huh.
I did like, I think it's an insult that Kelly gives, where she, I think she asks about Susie's shoes or something, like if she got something from Whores for Less.
Yes.
I thought that the dialogue in the movie, there were times where the dialogue was just funny. And there were times like... when people's reactions or the situation, like when the secretary pops up and says, talks with Mr. Bowden, like, and her head pops up over the little divider.
Oh my God, that cracked me up.
When he says, hold my calls.
Yeah.
Right, over the phone.
Yeah. Or just like Bill Murray in the car. Like, and it keeps you wondering, like, what the hell is this movie?
Right.
And then you're watching it and like, are you guys thinking, okay, so they exploded into court. Now what?
I know the whole time I was Part thinking this like went really quickly. Like, what else is going to happen? And
yeah,
boy, was I surprised.
I started when he seemed, when Lombardo seemed genuinely like upset about the way people were reacting to him, I was like, I don't like that I'm thinking that, like, did he not do it? Is he being falsely accused, and like, why?
Right. Well, and then like, you're thinking so much that he's being falsely accused because of, you know, what you're seeing, what they're giving us, you know, the pieces of it. And then all of a sudden, bam, it changes. And then all of a sudden, bam, it changes again.
Yeah.
I also want to note, though, too, that before we knew anything was changing, I was kind of upset that they had the female officer's name. I can't remember.
Perez, Gloria.
They had Gloria be like, oh, I think Kelly's lying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That pissed me off.
She was lying, but like what I was saying was, before we knew everything was going to change, I really didn't think that they should have had the woman do that. Although, I mean, I don't know.
Right.
Like, I guess it's fair either way, but.
Or like, she could tell because she was a woman.
Maybe.
That, yeah, I don't know. Like, is like, it, like, I feel how like sexist
it's, is it's maybe because that? It was like her first reaction. Like, it's the first thing kind of that she says about it.
Her and gut instinct is that she was lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like pretty heartless with sexual assault survivors, and like, I would sense in their stories and just like treat it as if they were telling 100% the truth. I can't imagine just being like, oh, she's lying.
Right. It seems really like just heartless. Like, she's not even like trying to be like, well, maybe this could have happened. She's just automatically going to, no, I think she's lying.
Yeah, so that's already her place where she'll do her detective work from, is not proving, you know,
not looking for truth, already looking for falsehoods.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing that they do really just what sets, like, I mean, it's so bad, lying about rape, you know, and like, I would you, like, what in the fuck?
Nope.
This is like a what the fuck movie.
I didn't, like, you don't realize just how fucked up it is. Like, when I'm watching this at 14, I'm thinking like, okay, boobs, and this is the Kevin Bacon penis movie.
So you're not thinking
Not like, oh my God, this is... Like, these are students who are fucking over their adult authority figures.
And they really do a pretty good job of being like, man, this guy's life is destroyed at this point.
Like, well, yeah, because that's what... Yeah.
For a period of time, I mean, they're like, yeah, he can't go to the club. He can't, you know, work anymore. He can't do anything.
But then that's, like, sympathy for, like, people who are accused of rape. Like,
yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, they're... Yeah, they're showing you what happens. I mean, I don't know that.
It's, I mean, because
necessarily, because really, you get to see all sides of this.
I mean, I equate it to, like, you remember that real life the Jussie Smollett who created the fake attack on himself.
Oh, yeah. Who hired two guys?
Who hired people to attack him, like, allegedly or something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, I forgot about that. I don't even
know the whole truth behind that now because there were so many lies.
And it, like, sets back, like, the movement, and it sets the reality, and now people start to believe only the fictions of it.
Mm-hmm.
A movie like this, like, it just contributes so badly to all of the stereotypes and all of the horrible facets of it,
mm-hmm.
of how hard it is for a girl to be believed, or for a person to be believed after they have been assaulted in some way.
Right.
And well, and how I just saw a posting that somebody was giving about that fucker. I don't want to say his name, although I think I just remembered it. The one who assaulted the girl in the alley, and the judge was like, "Oh well, 20 minutes of action would ruin the 20 years of his life, and I can't have that."
Right. So, it was like he got like 3 months in jail or some shit like that. Is that what you're talking about?
And that's bullshit. Like, when you have those kinds of things that are, and then you're like, this movie is like, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to capitalize on rape.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, movie.
Yes, you are like, whoa, movie.
But then it's like, and if we're going to capitalize on rape, we're going to do everything, including full frontal male penis, which is not done.
Yeah, they're just like, we'll just do everything.
Yeah.
But no female full frontal.
Yeah.
There were like, sex scenes, but there was no like, obvious.
And they had all of the language, but there was not there are no merkins in sight.
Yeah.
No ginger minges.
Who was the person who was like, nah, we're exploiting women enough in this movie?
Yeah. You draw the line.
Well, that's because it was in Denise Richards' contract. And Neve Campbell couldn't do nudity because she was in the Party of Five clause. So, like, they wouldn't allow her to do movies and stuff like that. And then Denise Richards wouldn't do it. And so, I mean, they could have gotten a body double.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, they decided not to. You know, the thing is, though, this movie spawned 3 sequels.
It did not.
It did. Oh, my God. Not with any of the same cast or people. They're all different stories that center around Blue Bay.
Oh.
Okay.
And it's like, it culminates in one of them called Wild Things Foursome.
Oh my God.
So all of the movies in the future just are, they have all the sex scenes. I was doing some reading. I've never seen the sequels. Okay. I'm throwing that out there. But the reading said that the, like the sex scene in, I can't remember which one it was. It was like better than the original.
Oh my God.
It was like how they were like explaining it. Like, you should watch this because the threesome in this movie is better than the threesome in the original movie.
Oh my God. Jeez.
It was like when you're watching it, and I don't know. I mean, I guess it was pretty tame. I don't, we haven't gotten to the threesome part yet.
No.
We have.
Mm-mm. I have no idea.
No, I think it is in this section. Yeah. I mean, they meet in the hotel. I mean, so like when you guys, they go through the trial. And then he walks into the hotel and they're like, oh, something is off here. And you see Kelly with the towel. Do you think she's there to kill him?
I think she has a gun under that towel.
That's definitely what I thought too.
And you're like, dang it.
How much did you get? It's so, like, some of the people in this movie cannot act. Like, they can't. Or, like, it's just like bad choice acting. I don't know. But like,
or a little too cliche or corny.
But, Sarah, maybe. You're right. Like, the scene between Kelly and her mom, that's just, like, there are no good actors in that
room.
It
was cringy. It was fucking cringy, okay?
Like, you know they had to get through that day. They were like, just get through it. Just say Sam Lombardo. Just stand up and say Sam Lombardo.
She was tequila drunk that day, too.
Probably to get through this. The I told you I did some reading. Denise Richards said that she was kind of contemplating her life when she realized at like 4 a.m. that she was freezing outside of a pool, having just been making out with Neve Campbell, and she's like, "What am I doing with my life? Is this what I want to be doing?"
Yeah.
So she went through like the gauntlet spectrum of of what, how you feel about the movie. But I guess now she feels pretty empowered. It was her choice. Is what That's she right. tells her kid. So she did something fun. Kevin Bacon said he did it because at first it was the most horrible script, and then he just kept having twist after twist. He's like, fine, I'll do it.
All right, sure.
I'm in.
Why not?
And then ends up accidentally being full frontal.
Accidentally, huh? Mm-hmm.
Let's give the ladies what they came for. No, we did not.
I don't, there's so much that was crammed into like those two little paragraphs or whatever. Mm-hmm. We got to keep going.
Sam and Kenneth negotiate an $8.5 million settlement for the defamation lawsuit. It is revealed that Sam and the two girls were accomplices who used the trial to get money from Kelly's wealthy family. Police detective Ray Duquette suspects that the trio are working a scam. Against the wishes of the district attorney's office, he continues investigating Sam. He tells Kelly and Susie that Sam has already transferred the money to an offshore account. Susie panics and goes to tell Kelly, who comforts her. Kelly, however, calls Sam and tells him that they may have to get rid of Susie. In the pool, Susie attacks Kelly. They fight, but eventually end up kissing while being watched by Ray, unbeknownst to them.
Creeper.
So, when Kenneth, the first time we saw him, he had that neck brace on. I was like, what is going on? What? I don't trust this guy. And it was this, just
I don't have to wear it all the time. The Bill Murray, I mean, it was Bill Murray. I mean, and you're like, okay, he's in this role for a reason. And he's playing that lawyer part that actually exists. The dude, the ambulance chaser, mm-hmm. the guy who's always got some sort of scheme in the mix.
Right.
And now, but we know from the very start, when did Susie talk to Ken Bowden?
It had to be early on.
Because it never shows how, Sam walks in to go ask, how did Sam get there? Maybe Susie sent Sam to him for a lawyer? That's had to have been what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the end.
Yeah. So, yeah, you've got Creeper, Ray Duquette, Kevin Bacon. After everything kind of comes out in the courtroom and the movie's kind of shifting, because you're like, wow, a lot of this action is done now, you think, okay, is the movie now going to be about Kevin Bacon trying to investigate something?
Yeah.
It kind of switches and it starts showing him a little bit more.
Yeah.
I did think it was awkward for a moment when they were having him, be so hardcore, after... After everything was said and done, mm-hmm. and he was like, I'm still going to investigate this.
Yeah.
I thought that felt awkward, but now we know why, obviously.
Yeah.
I really like the shot of Perez when she's watching Duquette after he freaks out on Lombardo in the police department and, yells at him. And he's like, say that to my face, after Lombardo just said it to his face.
Right.
And then, Perez is looking through the window, and I feel like you're supposed to know. That's why I think she goes back at the end, is that it just took her a little bit longer to then see that, Ray was in on it, too. Mm-hmm. she came to that on her own.
Yeah.
By watching his behavior. I like that. You could see her in the background, and then she walks away. But, I mean... Ray and that video camera.
Yeah,
creepy.
And I knew that Kristen was she was writing all about it, and then it switches over, and I was just thankful that the police chief was admonishing him. Yeah. He was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Right.
Seriously.
Is he just watching it along, right in everyone's view?
And then he starts zooming in.
Yes.
He zoomed in. But okay. All right.
So that's where you really have to know something's going on here. Because, you lower the camera, walk away or whatever, turn around or whatever, you know.
But, I mean...
If you were being honest policeman.
I mean, because tell me, how did we feel about... All right. this movie is famous for sex scene, the threesome with Denise Richards, Neve Campbell, and Matt Dillon. Uh-huh. And then you have you don't really think about it, but the pool scene where Denise Richards goes from kicking the shit
and almost drowning her. Talk.
It was so much. It was so fun. Like, she's like holding her under the water, like she's dying.
And then all of a sudden, they start bitch slapping her.
And then she slaps her. And then she's like, "You are scared, aren't you?" And then Neve Campbell puts her fingers in her mouth.
That's just so. I was like, "What the hell?" Like, does not seem realistic at all. This seems crazier than crazy. This seems
written by a lesbian.
No, like, it's written by an over 50-year-old man. Never wrote like anything else.
He should not have written
this. No. He's like, what would these 18-year-old girls do?
Not that.
After I bitch slap you and near drown you, now wet your finger.
Put fingers in my mouth.
Oh, that's what she said. But watching it then, you know, you think, oh my God, like this is awesomely attractive. And then watching it now, you're like, oh my God, this is awesomely attractive. But you're like, this is also so fucking bad. Fake and bad.
Right.
And you're like, then you kind of, I feel kind of dumb, like dumber.
Yeah, but you were coming from the mindset of watching it as a teen. You know, like where it was like a mind-blowing movie for you.
Yeah, because you had Neve Campbell from Scream doing all bad girl dirty stuff.
And then they kiss.
And then they kiss. That's,
yeah, I'm sure that watching two females make out wasn't, you know, something to overlook.
Well, no, and it's the relationship between them.
Yeah.
In the pool is like, okay, so like they're obviously doing stuff just together. It's not just about Sam. But then Kelly was like into Sam. So it's like it was like just straight up like fluid, like sexual fluidity.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a threesome work.
Well, and the thing was like, I was thinking like, do you have, like, you don't have Susie, who's, like, in love with Kelly. And you don't have Kelly, who's in love with Susie. They just had sex in the pool. Like, they didn't have feelings towards one another. Kelly was perfectly fine with Susie dying, like, 2 days later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And not Susie realistic. Was having sex with her, knowing full well that she was thinking, you're going to go to prison for killing me. Like... Mm-hmm.
Well, for Susie, she has to maintain her act, too. I mean, that's part of it.
Okay, yeah. So then who was acting?
Right.
Like, Susie was acting, but Kelly was wanting to...
But at this point, does Kelly already know that she, you know, she thinks that she and Sam are going to be the ones to go away together?
So then Sam says, take care of Susie. And she's like, take care means go have sex with her?
Apparently. Obviously not.
What was the motivation for sex in the pool? It's like, I can't believe I'm asking that. I wouldn't have asked that in 1998.
The guys who were writing it wanted to see it.
Yeah, but like, I don't understand why they had sex in the pool. They were had they the threesome, still on, I get that.
She's still on cocaine? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe she is just a really dangerous person and it's not that bad of a thing that she died?
What?
Like, was she turned on by the fact that she almost killed somebody? Like,
I think she was. She fucking went ham.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That was enjoyable.
Yeah, and she's supposed to be an 18-year-old girl, and she's like...
She fucking picked her up and slapped her fucking back in the pool, and then picked her ass up again and shoved her into the water?
Oh my God.
And she was just saying, like... like, do we have to? Like, I thought she was like, do we have to kill her? Or he's like, you know what we have to do. And she like didn't want to. And then she goes from not wanting to fucking almost doing it herself.
Yeah.
To then sexing her. This movie was all over the place.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot. It was.
It was.
It's really like no good reason.
It was a lot to take. A lot of confusion.
Now let's take a break and hear about our sponsor. And now back to the show. A few nights later, Kelly takes an intoxicated Susie to the beach. Sam shows up, and when he and Susie are alone for a moment, Sam brutalizes her. Sam and Kelly then drive to the swamp where Sam disposes of the plastic-wrapped body. Ray and his partner, Detective Gloria Perez, investigate Susie's disappearance. Her blood and teeth are found at the beach while her car is found at a bus terminal. The DA's office again insists that Ray drop the case, but he asks Gloria to watch Sam. Sam shows Gloria Kelly's school files, which claim that she is a troubled and violent girl. Meanwhile, Ray goes to Kelly's house to confront a scared and upset Kelly. After Ray enters her room, three gunshots are heard, after which Ray exits the room and collapses. He claims that Kelly shot first and he killed her in self-defense. No charges are filed against him, but he is dismissed from the force for disobeying orders.
So right off the bat, everybody always knows something is weird when a death is not shown on screen, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you were kind of, the Susie death didn't work for you, did it?
I thought that they really did kill her.
Oh, yeah?
Why
was there so much wine bottle?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, because then they show the body, like, body.
Your teeth bleed like fucking crazy.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
So, yeah, there a lot of blood would have come out on that. And I thought, I was sitting here thinking, oh, man. Kristen's going to be like, they didn't really kill her. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, they have the body there. They're going to show the body. So, like, then it's going to be like, aha, see, we tricked you. She's really dead.
Wrapped up in plastic.
Yeah, like, hold your breath, Susie.
And then the first thing that Kelly says is, my mom is going to kill me when she finds out I took her Range Rover.
Yeah, I know. It's like, rude. You just had sex with this girl in a pool. She's just had her fingers in your mouth. Don't you have any care?
No.
No, none at all.
Absolutely not.
So then you get Kelly and the gunshots, and that happens off screen.
And see, I knew that too, like from the moment that happened, you get it off screen. And the shots were weird. I noticed that right away. I was like, there are two and then one.
Yeah.
I was like, that doesn't make sense.
No.
I have a problem with that scene because, and I think that might just play into forensics. I mean, he shot her on the floor. They would know that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he shot himself really, really close to his arm. They would know that too. And that would also like blow out his shoulder.
So like we would have known that in 1998, right? That's just bad writing on the script.
Yeah.
Like they would have been able, the cops in 1998 would have been able to figure that out.
No, seriously, if he shot himself in the shoulder at that point blank range,
yeah,
his shoulder would be like devastated, and he's like walking around fine the next day.
Also, like shooting her point blank in the chest floor, like it's gonna have different cooling patterns.
Yeah, Dexter would definitely know.
Yeah, Dexter would be all over this.
Mm-hmm. The blood splatter would reveal all. So then you've got the whole time, you got Gloria Perez who's investigating. And this is that really fucking cringy scene where she sits down with Sam on the bed.
Blarg. Like,
yeah.
At first you're like, is she really being dumb? But it's then more apparent that she's like trying to figure out if he's really going to make that move.
Yeah, because then later she tells Ray he's leaving. Like, she believes that Sam didn't do anything. She was going to sit there and she was going to fuck Sam.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I like that. No. I thought that she would, like, see through him.
Like, that's what you're hoping for. But, yeah, and it's like it comes later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went into, like, hadn't liked earlier about how she was immediately doubtful. Like, they just, I don't know. Those are things that I wouldn't want to attribute to that character.
Like, they're making her not a very good, like, detective.
Just like no compassion.
I guess I was projecting what I wanted her character to be, not what it is.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so, Sam is like, hey, you know, I was fired from this job and I'm getting ready to leave. But you know what I have? All these school files.
Right. Yeah.
And do you want them? I know you don't have a warrant or anything, but I'll just give you the school file.
Yeah. I'm not obliged to do that, but here you go.
He probably wouldn't have been allowed to leave with those. That seems really weird.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when you go back, Ray was supposed to go to Kelly's and arrest her? Because like later on, when you have like in the end, when he's like, I had to shoot her. Like he lies about, I mean, she does fight him a little bit, but like, why was Ray going there to begin with? If the end plan was she takes the fall for Susie and ends up in jail, what was Ray going to do? Well, you mean Kelly?
No.
Because when Ray goes to Kelly's, Susie is already, quote, dead at this point. So Ray thinks that Susie's dead.
Yeah,
and he thinks that Sam killed her. Because he says later, you're getting squeamish now after you bludgeoned Susie.
Mm-hmm.
So Ray thinks that Sam killed Susie. So then Ray goes to kill Kelly, but Ray was supposed to have it so that she gets arrested for the murder of Susie.
Susie couldn't have that loose end with Ray because Ray didn't know that Susie and would have just kept pursuing her.
So was he just... I can't remember why he went over there.
Because, that's what,
like, yeah. There was a reason. I just can't remember what it was. Because he jumps up and goes over there.
Well, but is it because he says to the partner that Sam is going to come after her?
Yeah, because he says later, I went over there to keep her safe. That's right.
But Sam never told Ray, really, to go and kill Kelly.
No, I think that might just be him because... It did say at the end that he was the one that was, that killed that one kid, Davey, I think they said his name was. Because so I think Ray that he's just a fucking beating. Bad person and wanted. Yeah.
Because Ray was beating that girl and he tried to stop him.
Yeah.
So Ray just wanted to kill her. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... Or like he didn't trust that she would be able to be arrested and charged.
Right, didn't think that it would hold up, I guess. So killing her was the best option because, you know, if you're dead, you can't talk.
He's a bad dude.
He is.
Yeah, he got his.
He got his.
He did. Not soon enough, though.
He gets discharged, or he gets fired, everything taken away from him. But we didn't talk about the blood and teeth. I mean, the fact that she pulled her own teeth out in order to...
Right. And Sam couldn't fucking do it.
But then she had teeth at the end of the movie.
Yeah, she could pay for veneers.
I was going to say, she's got $8.5 million.
But she didn't get the money until after everyone else was dead.
Mm.
Did Sam pay for her veneers? He must have.
Mm-hmm. Could have.
No, I was talking about when Ray, it's revealed that Ray and Sam are working together.
No, you guys, it's the dentures. She took the dentures.
She took the dentures. Yeah. Oh, poor Walter.
It is revealed that Sam is working with Ray. Although Sam is displeased that Ray killed Kelly instead of just framing her for Susie's death, he agrees that they have fewer loose ends. The two go sailing on Sam's sailboat, where Sam tries to kill Ray. When Ray fights back, he is shot and killed by a very much alive Susie. She then poisons Sam's drink and knocks him overboard so that his body will not be found.
Yeah, oh my god. The boat scene was crazy intense for me. Because I was like, someone's going to die here, but who's it going to be? Right. And I really wasn't ready for Susie to come back.
When he kept having Ray like reach a little farther.
He was like, you're killing me. Dumb. He was like, you're killing me. I'm like, do you actually know? Or are you just, like, joking? Like,
oh, yeah, when she poisons him?
No.
He's telling...
Oh, joking, not joking.
Not joking.
Or no, still just the men.
He's like, go, reach a little farther.
Yeah.
Like, do you know that he's trying to kill you? Like,
but then Ray climbs back up that boat and he's like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Susie hadn't been on that boat, I don't know if Sam would have survived.
Probably he didn't anyway.
Yeah.
I know he did. What I'm saying is I think that Ray would have won that battle.
I think so.
I think so as well.
I still can't believe Susie, that, like,
she unloads that, what, two arrows into him?
Harpoon gun.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, she's like fresh out of high school, 18, harpoons a man to death, and then poisons another one.
200 IQ.
Yeah.
I love when he's like, "What? You're dead." She goes, "No, I'm not." Mm-hmm. Like, her voice, it's just like it's just the line delivery.
That's great.
Like, the very first time that you have Duquette and Perez come to her trailer to talk to her. And she was like, it took you long enough. What if somebody was trying to, what did she say? Does she crude? Did she say, like, what if somebody was trying to fuck me?
Yes. I think
something about in the ass.
Did she say,
yeah,
what if somebody was trying to fuck me in the ass?
I think so.
I didn't know if she actually said that
similar.
Or not. But just her saying that, and you're like, Sydney Prescott.
Yeah. Sydney wouldn't say that.
But Susie Toller would. So yeah, so she pops back up in that boat and she makes Sam believe her that she's not killing him.
And he has that thought for a second too.
Uh-huh. He smells the drink in front of her.
Yeah. As if you can smell.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever it is.
You're like, okay, I guess Susie knows how to drive a boat. But then you get the reveals.
Right. Several scenes during the credits fill in the missing details. The five co-conspirators are Susie, Sam, Ray, Kelly, and Ken. Susie is revealed to be the ultimate mastermind of the plot as she alone sails off into the sunset. In a flashback sequence, she walks into Sam's guidance office and drops a set of pictures on his desk, showing him and Kelly having sex in order to blackmail him into helping her execute the plot. She sets up the first meeting between Sam and Ray. She uses a pair of pliers to pull a tooth out of her own jaw after Sam pulls one. Finally, Ken gives her a briefcase full of cash that he describes as just walking around money and a check for millions of dollars. As she leaves, he tells her to be good.
Be good.
Be good.
When an old man tells you to be good.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Bill Murray. No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, so the end of the movie, you've got all the string of reveals. And I don't think it cheapens the rest of the movie, but there's something about having to explain it after.
Right.
But I think that the cut that we watched, different from yours, they really overly explained it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to reveal Susie's motive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell me if they should have left it out of the theatrical run.
Okay.
So, she was born in this poor trailer swampland. Her mother was a bar dancing girl or whatever who got pregnant by a very rich old man who used to come around with his drinking buddies and whore it up with the poor girls. So this rich old man gets this girl pregnant and then brings her and drops her off at Ruby's saying that he can't take care of her. And that girl gives birth to Susie. And the old man is the father of Sandra Van Ryan.
Oh.
So Susie and Sandra are sisters.
Oh my God.
And Kelly is Susie's niece.
Holy shit.
So this is the only way that Susie's going to get any of the money that she deserves. Shit. They should have left that in. What the fuck?
And that's, yeah, and they, that's so crazy. I had never, so in all the years that I'd seen this movie, never, and then watch a different version this time for the podcast.
Yeah, and then the other only motivator that they give in that flashback sequence is, like, she tells Ray that he shouldn't have killed
Yeah, and that's why Ray dies, because he shouldn't have killed Davey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the only other motivation. Like,
it's like, yeah, why did she decide to go after? Yeah.
And only give the stuff about Ray. I thought that was odd.
Yeah, that was really weird.
So, I thought it was weird that they decided to take that out of the theatrical. I guess another thing they decided to leave out completely is there might be a shower scene between Sam and Ray where they shower together. The director said he took that out because it was gratuitous. And so
gratuitous for the men, but not for the women.
Yeah. And Ray is only, Kevin Bacon's only nude in it because of the scene that when they shot, the Matt Dillon stepped out of the way or something, and it showed then his full frontal. And the person who was editing the movie noticed that Kevin Bacon, that they caught him nude. And so they decided to call Kevin Bacon and be like, yo, can we use this? Even though you have a no nudity clause. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. And then he puts it in the movie. And then all of a sudden, all of the American film press junkets want to know about him going full frontal. He says, the European ones didn't ask me at all about it.
Oh my God.
So it's like this weird blending of a movie where you have the crazy threesome, you've got Kevin Bacon nude, and now you have, it's like the rape exploitation, but Susie really deserved the money and she's the good guy, bad guy, what the fuck did I just watch movie?
Yeah, this whole thing is just a mind fuck.
Yeah.
It was.
I want to say that it was good.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I mean, yeah. Let's be clear. It was enjoyable, even though it was completely filled with triggers.
And like it was trash.
Yes, it was trash. Yes. It was guilty. This is a guilty pleasure movie.
Okay, this is a guilty pleasure.
This qualifies as a guilty pleasure. Because
you would be. I would feel really embarrassed if I was watching this movie and like kids or parents like walked in. You'd be like, pause. Like, this is like, I feel dirty watching this movie.
Yeah, like, and pretty much at any given moment too.
Yeah, because like with the words that they're saying, what they're talking about, I knew that this movie, because of the threesome, would fit well for the sex month, but I didn't know how well it was going to fit for to kick off our summer of sex.
Yeah, it does fit really well.
Starting off very triggery strong.
Yeah.
Like
super.
Like I didn't even think when I suggested it. I wasn't even like, this movie's gonna talk about rape.
That's what it's about.
I fucking know. I wasn't like, oh man, this is gonna be a trigger because they're exploiting rape. I was like, oh my God, they haven't seen this threesome scene.
Oh my God.
Like, that's what it's known for. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to flip that Kevin Bacon's penis is in this movie. And I'm like,
it's a penis.
You're saying that about American movies, and that's not, because in American movies, you don't see male nudity.
True.
Like, all men have all they have is their penis, and they're all worried about what it looks like. No one wants to show it.
We must protect the men at all costs.
Exactly. Because penis size equates right to your ego.
Ugh.
But, like, with women, that doesn't apply to boobs. Women can't be insecure about boobs.
Or literally anything else.
That's sarcasm. Okay. That's sarcasm. So, it's always, it's prevalent with boobs and merkins and, like, but you don't see male full frontal nudity. So, that was a huge thing in the movie.
You're right.
So, you're like, summer of sex, you get to see Nev Campbell in a threesome and Kevin Bacon's penis. That's kick-off sex movies. And now we're like, oh, that's what this movie's about.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll say I enjoyed it too.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed watching Nev Campbell be drowned in that pool.
That was
a really good scene.
Like, I was like, it's all the feels at once. It's like, oh my God, this is amazing to watch. What is going on in this scene? How is this girl slapping her around like this? What is going on?
I feel good, and I'm going to continue watching.
I had a hard time about it because of just like the whole exploiting rape thing, and like now that I know that it's like it was supposed to be high schoolers, so I don't know. I feel like they could have still gotten to the same end if they had used like I feel like they didn't need those two things to get to the same ending.
I think that's what made it dirty. I think it's like John Waters territory. Like, I think that you were supposed to feel icky.
You're supposed to feel gross.
And, like, the thing is, when I watched it at 14, I didn't feel gross like that. Like, it was like you know, oh, sex. But, like, watching it when I'm older, it makes you feel fucking icky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what we talk about, triggers. And I think that sometimes, like, I think films are triggering on purpose.
Yeah.
Forcing you to feel emotions.
I don't think it would be.
No.
I don't know. The last one, I think, was made in 2010.
Okay.
But and they're always about, you know, young girls involved in lesbian relationships trying to get money, like millions of dollars. Like, if you go through on an internet movie database and read the descriptions, it's all about this foursome does this. This threesome's after $2 million. And it's fucking, it's like they took Wild Things. What's it about? It's about pretty girls, money, and sex scenes. Mm-hmm. And they made three more movies out of it. And America was like, yay.
I had no idea there were
sequels. So we're like, this wouldn't be made again today. But I wonder actually how often, like, I don't know. Like, we talk about movies, like, we stop at 2014. And I don't know. I'm going out and watching a lot of new movies lately. I'm really busy. So I don't know if this kind of thing passes. You do have, it's very prevalent in our culture today of people who are in high school acting like they are not. And I can remember growing up, like, you got 90210, Saved by the Bell. You have all of these people who are clueless. It was very commonplace to show, here's the fake world of high school. Here's how, like, adult these people are. And I don't know if they still do that or not. Like, do they, like, they cast 27-year-olds in high school roles still?
I mean, probably. Or,
like, high school roles played by high schoolers, you don't really, like, dip into the icky territory. Like, they thought they could do this because they were using like almost 30-year-old actors to portray, and like, I don't know, it is pretty fucking gross. Like, you have Kelly Van Ryan, who is like dressed like schoolgirl. You've got, it's very fetish.
Yeah.
Like, the more you think about it, the more, like, I don't know, do you recommend it? You have to, like, it's very tongue-in-cheek.
I say no.
Yeah, I would also say no.
I don't know that I would recommend it to anyone unless, like, it's same as always. If they were looking for something specific and, like, they were saying, I want this sort of thing, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe this movie. But I don't know that I would be like, hey, go watch this. It's got lots and lots of stuff in it.
Yeah. Maybe if you're interested in the sex, just go watch the sex scenes. Like, just go to YouTube and watch, and I'm probably not YouTube, go to Pornhub and look up Denise Richards, Ned Campbell, look up Kevin Bacon penis, watch the sex stuff. The movie means nothing.
And then, rating?
Is it a 5?
I think it's a 5.
It's a 5?
Is it all the way there?
It's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
I would cancel this movie.
I was not, like, I was not okay with Sam Lombardo, like, taking off Kelly Van Ryan's underwear.
Oh, yeah.
I was really not okay with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was really okay with Kelly Van Ryan, like, going after Susie and then, like, Susie's, like, fingers and, like, her lips and stuff. But I was not okay with Sam Lombardo, like,
touching
anything that he fucking did.
Yeah.
Now, especially, like, when you get to, like, you see her socks and shoes, and it's like, oh my god, she's supposed to be like really fucking young. And I feel like it's just especially bad that they're high schoolers. Like it's right. Yeah, it's just, no, don't do.
Well, and that's why like in the courtroom scene, they were like, believe these two 18-year-old girls. Well, then yeah. When he was coked up with her, she was 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Like, that okay. is,
So five, then.
So then you're like, fuck, I liked this movie when I was younger. Now you can't tell anybody about it. That's why you're like, no, if you want to see Kevin Bacon's penis, if you want to see Denise Richards, if you're just that Google kind it. Of deviant, then you go, but you can't really be like, yes, there's this movie about high schoolers and rape accusations and all of this other kind of stuff, but it's okay. Just watch it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Because
it was entertaining, but yeah, I wouldn't just recommend it.
Entertaining because we're watching it for the podcast right. and being like, oh my God, this is going to be so triggering.
Right.
But like, it is weird to think now, sit down, have someone sit down and watch this movie and be like, yeah, that's fucking good.
No. Oh my God.
No, like, that would not happen.
So then like when somebody tells you that, like, what do you think of that person?
I would be like, what did you think is good about it? And what does that say about you?
I know. I think I'm getting wrapped up in my memories as a teenager, and that's the good things about me were the naughty things when I was a teenager. You got to see naughty bits on people. doesn't have the same appeal when at 36, you know, as it does it at 14.
No,
going back and realizing that the writing is bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
That it's and it is like when you fucking talk about the 50-year-old dude writing that lesbian pool scene. It's you're exactly right. Yeah. You're like old right. fucking dudes. So it's a five, and nobody recommends it.
Cancel.
Hey, I recommend looking up the dirty bits. If you want to be a dirty person, go ahead. Feel free. Sex is okay, and it's all right to be curious.
It's all right to be curious, and always use protection.
Well, you don't need protection if you're just Googling Kevin Bacon's penis.
But if you're with somebody.
Well, of course. If you're with
Kevin Bacon's penis. Sign up your monogamous relationship.
use your protection. Yeah. All right. So I've already done the connection to Buffy. It was fucking easy. If you don't remember. All right. So I connected Sarah Michelle Gellar, who was in Scream 2, with Neve Campbell, who was also in Scream 2. So that's done.
Right. And you can find it posted on Facebook at Millennial Movie Mix.
And on Instagram at Millennial Movie Mix Podcast.
And don't forget to join us next Monday when we go over Bound from 1996.
Listeners, I'm the only one who's seen Bound. If you haven't seen Bound, go watch it. They haven't seen Bound. They're gonna watch it. And we're going to talk about it.
Sex, drugs, glorious. Rock and roll, baby.
Sex, that's drugs, right. and rock and roll. Wild Things had it all. We'll see if Bound has it all. Come back next Monday. Find out with us. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.